This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Hello, everybody, and we are back. Surreal Talk, cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Stress the paranormal
media,
this week.
Yeah, a lineupmedia.fm production. And if you noticed by our incoming theme music that Eric's name was mentioned first.
Eric and Everett.
So that should say something. If you want to cast your vote, go to
SurrealTalkPodcast.com
and vote Team Eric. How are we doing this week, guys? We got our guest Ocho Man back with us from behind the eight ball. Ocho Man, how
dude,
you doing?
I love these type of episodes.
Yeah, these paranormal
stuff. I come on for this
stuff.
Shit. I love it. I love it, I tell you. And for you guys non-believers, we're going to talk to you people out there.
As you can see, Giano is very excited about what's going on today. What are we doing, Everett?
So we're continuing what we started this last Wednesday. We released the episode Wednesday as well as a podcast. But this episode, as you're hearing it now, will be coming out Monday. We are reading some more of our favorite stories and tales from Reddit's Our Paranormal subreddit, which, if you didn't listen to the first half, Reddit is a giant online message board that has sections of it cordoned off for any subject you can think of.
Yeah.
We chose to delve right into the paranormal side and look for personal tales that seemed to be real. It didn't seem to be absolute bullshit right off the top, and kind of picked our favorites that we're going to read to you live on the show here this week and kind of discuss what we think about them.
Sounds great, man.
So
sounds great. I tell you what, too. This time of the month, you kind of like shit like that. You like the leaves falling and the nice cold weather and all that shit. And
did Eric just see a ghost?
No. I just checking the recording, make sure everything's good. Everything's good.
And I just think that this is the time of month where you want to get away from the real world a little bit. And we have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving, all this shit, you know. And that's fine, but for the older people, I think Halloween still sticks with us. Christmas time, you got the Santa Claus shit like that. It's all for the kids. I think Halloween time, we can never be out of the ball game. The older people are always in it because this is always something we grew up on. That's just my opinion.
You still dress up for Halloween?
You know what? I like to, and we're having a Halloween party. And I'm going to be a pope with a – I'm going to hope to find a little kid to walk around with or something. That's going to be
– I actually like that costume. Sorry, but
– Can you get a fake little kid?
Yeah. No, don't
no,
get
no,
a real little kid.
No, I'm not getting a real little
kid. I was wondering.
Kid. I mean, but I
where do you get one of those?
Where can I find a little fucking stuffed kid?
There were so many things going through my mind right there.
We didn't know
come
where
on,
this
boy.
Going.
We're
going
to walk around.
It's about ready to call
and
the police.
I'm going to play with your candy.
Come here, little boy. I got candy.
Why'd you buy that white panel?
Oh, name of God.
Anyway, so I guess let's just jump right into it and hit your first one you wanted to do this week, Eric.
All righty.
Or this episode, rather.
I will hit my first one that I want
can
to
I,
do.
Can I ask
week.
You guys a quick one before
sure,
you get
not?
Into that?
Of course.
What type of atmosphere freaks you guys out the most? Is it a house? Not, I don't want to say haunted, but is it a old house or a forest? Or
insane,
a graveyard.
Insane asylum or something like that. Like,
or a insane asylum, yeah. I mean,
none of
there,
it.
There's got to be something.
Liar.
There's got, no way. There. Come
Eric's
on, Eric, no bullshit. When you walk out there and you see something, isn't there something that says to you, hey, you know what, I don't think I want to go in there. I think it's kind of freaky.
Listen, man. Whatever like he says, he won't watch scary movies.
What do you mean? So like kind of.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Oh, damn it.
I can't believe that.
So you mean kind of like.
Boom. Team ever gets a point.
There we go.
I can't believe that.
They're not fucking interesting.
Oh, bullshit.
I've seen some.
That to me is, you're frightened of it, so, which makes me think you're a believer. Don't bullshit.
He's not giving him any power by giving him any credence. They're exactly. not real. I will not watch by him. He's like, I will not let these things in my life.
Dude, you watch Star Trek. What the fuck are you talking about?
Whoa.
Star Wars.
There's a big difference. but no, I don't. I just don't like they don't. People are like, oh, let's go watch this, the new fucking scary movie. I've never seen the new It.
Don't it's you not, feel like you're getting away from it all?
Look, man, it fucked me up when I was a kid.
Okay. All right. So there you have
and
a
I don't want to watch no more. Why are you making me?
I'm saying to you, you get away from everything like that. You get away from the realities of the world, and now you're that guy running around the corner or hiding under that box. And you're saying,
don't
go there. He's going to get you. And, you know, here's another thing I always wanted to ask you guys. After they kill one of these villains, why do they sit right in front of them, start crying and shit? Get the fuck out of there.
April, every time we watch a movie like that, she says the same thing. Why do you shoot one time? Why do you not walk over there, double tap that sumbitch in the head? Why have you not chopped Jason's head off? Why do you let any zombie that close to you? Why are you retarded? And I hate to use the word retarded in that sort of manner, but why are you a goddamn idiot?
Mm-hmm.
You got bit because you're dumb.
What was that chick's name that in the first Halloween?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee fucking killed him. He's
saw
over
all
there.
Those.
And she's sitting in front of him, and she's fucking crying. I'm like, hey, why don't you get the fuck out of the house? I would get out of the house. You would see a Carl Lewis speed.
getting out of Carl Lewis. Your knees are burning like they're on fire.
You're getting the fuck out of there.
I think like movies like Michael Myers to me aren't as scary as movies like Nightmare on Elm Street, like, because you're dreaming. There's nothing you can do. It's not like you can get away. It's not like I can get in my car and outrun you from the motherfucker murderer trying to kill me.
So you get into more spiritual.
No, I don't
get
into those either. I just think they're scarier than the bullshit like you're talking like
you,
the
You just
like
mentioned it, though. You mentioned a
yeah,
clown
it was fucked
you.
Up, okay? Did you watch
it
the old
that scary
one?
To me.
Did you watch the old one? I was like six.
So what? That's why you won't watch scary movies, because shit like it.
I don't fuck with them.
Beep. Beep Richie.
You
that kind of shit.
Yeah.
They
you ever see that one?
Sorry, Ape. Sorry.
You know
Ape.
What? I think I caught it, but they didn't
oh,
do
oh,
it.
Oh, really? So April doesn't like it either. Yeah, that one's fucked.
No, she hates scary movies too, but she'll watch them.
Yeah, no.
She'll watch them. Unlike you.
Yeah, I ain't got no interest in them.
Yeah, sissy.
Yeah, but then you can't say that you don't believe in it. Obviously, you do, or you wouldn't watch it.
No, I don't.
You
don't
watch it. I know you don't want it. Because why? Because you're kind of scared of it.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Because you know it could happen to you.
All right. I'm going to lay back, and I'm going to start telling you with my earliest memories.
All right.
All right, Doc. Here's where it started.
Here it comes.
When did you whack off first?
Oh, don't answer that. Please, God.
20 minutes ago.
Because we shared a bedroom for a long, long time. I don't want to know.
You guys just sneak one off.
Danielle in the chat says it was her favorite movie growing up. Excuse me, but.
It is good, but
it's fuck. It was back then. It was fucking scary.
The scariest fucking movie
scary.
Was the
fucking balloons popping with the blood right in their faces and the blood in the sink of Beverly.
See, it doesn't really bother
Come
me.
Come on, man, goddamn man.
Know,
the friends could see it, and they had to fucking help her clean it up, and they're the only fucking ones. No, man. Come on, man. Goddamn,
dude,
man.
Dude, come on.
Fuck
the
that.
Real fucking scary movie was Exorcist.
Exorcist
now,
was
that
pretty good
was
too.
You're messing with the head fucking honcho Satan.
Exorcist was scary.
I mean,
but you weren't
I laid
with
in
Satan
bed.
In that movie. That wasn't
huh?
Satan.
No, that was not
Pazuzu.
Satan.
Pazuzu.
Pazuzu was the name of the demon.
The demon.
Fucking old Pazuzu. I thought it was the devil himself.
No, just the demon.
And he named himself Pazuzu.
Well, I don't know who named him, but that was the name he gave. That was his name.
Can you see devil going? Oh, you cute little thing. I'm going to call you Pazuzu.
Did you ever see Devil with a Blue Dress? It was a Leslie Nielsen.
That was good.
Parody movie about the Exorcist.
Who is the father?
Father May I?
Yeah, but what was the priest that was his buddy?
Skywalker or something.
Yeah, but what was his name? Like the actor was like, I want to say the same guy from Spaceballs.
No, it wasn't Bill Pullman.
Oh, that was Bill Pullman. Yeah, that's not him. You're right.
Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Well,
right
I didn't mean to get us sidetracked.
That's what we do.
I just wanted to know what kind of atmosphere it is. And I like to ask the people watching the show, too. What kind of place do you guys...
Oh, it was Repossessed is what it was called.
Repossessed.
Anything with possession is scary as fuck. But what type of atmosphere out there that you go, you know what, I'm not walking in that. There's no fucking way I can walk in that.
So there, and I'm not lying when I say this, but there is no atmosphere like that that's spooky to me. Because even though I don't watch these scary movies, I know that that stuff's not... I'm going to go right through a cemetery. I'll go right through an insane asylum.
Doesn't show that though, man. Your track record shows me that you're scared of shit like that, and you could talk big all you want in the studio. I think when that shit is in front of you, I think you're going to do what you do with the scary movies and turn it off.
Look, there could be the most haunted fucking mansion or the most haunted.
He's a real badass now, isn't he, Biggie?
And you see those memes on Facebook. Would you spend the night here for $10,000? Motherfucker, I'll do it for $10. Dollars. I don't need $10,000.
What do you guys think of?
I think he says that until he has his first like unexplained sound.
No.
Oh yeah.
I go to the basement. I have a last.
That's the last place I want to go.
I take double the amount of morphine that I should be able to ingest and
pass
out.
There we go, and just pass out for 16 hours.
Man. Well, anyway, I just want to throw that out there. I've always thought that's interesting.
Danielle in the chat says the fourth kind made her sleep with the lights on for a week.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that fourth kind. She suggested like on the group that we watched that. Yeah. I'm gonna give it a shot. It's really good.
What do you guys think about these commercials? We're sitting with our kids and then there's this crazy fucking looking nun that's attacking a
Looks fucking gnarly.
Yeah, that looks really scary. And
the nun?
And you know what, folks? I don't know about you guys out there, but I'm not a big fan of showing that to the kids. Just your commercial alone scared the shit out of my kid. I mean, I get it. You're trying to do something sell tickets.
Well, that's the idea, though, right? That's what commercial's designed for.
I know, but I wish they'd give at least a 3-second warning that this nun commercial is about to pop up. So you know what?
Warning.
I'll turn it.
Yo, this motherfucker's scary.
That'd be great.
Yeah, give me that.
That would work perfectly. All right, man. Let's hit your first one.
All right, so the first one I've got is called "I Am Haunted," and it was submitted by the Get This H Girl.
Get This H Girl.
Yeah. So.
So that's the username of the person who posted it on Reddit.
Yeah.
I wonder what
was it posted?
By that.
2 weeks ago.
This is posted 2 weeks ago. Okay. Yeah.
I've narrowed it down to me. So "I Am Haunted" is the title of this. I've narrowed it down to me. It can't be every house I live in, and my eyes start to water when I think about it. The first time I remember seeing it, I had to be like 11. We lived in a small house in a tiny town. There was a lot of bad shit going on in my house, and I remember thinking that the negative energy has a lot to do with things. Well, one night I was in my room, and my brother, who was 7, was in his room, and he was watching A Bug's Life, you know, Disney TV, whatever.
Yeah, we're familiar with Bug's Life.
I watched that, yes.
The point is, I remember looking so fucking vividly. She spells out fucking there. I don't know why it says she, because it said girl at the end. So, anyways, I heard a knock on the door, and it wasn't uncommon for my brother to come sleep with me. There was always a weird feeling in that house. Sensitivity to it runs in our family. When she says it, I assume she's referring to spiritual.
The presence.
Yeah. So I got up and opened it up and turned off. Opened what up? Opened it, and all the lights were off, and I could see the light under the door, and everything seemed normal. So I shut the door, and as soon as I sat down on my bed, I heard him crying and banging on the door, trying to get in. I did not lock my door. I used to get my ass beat for locking it, so I opened the door, and he is in tears. And over his shoulder in the hallway, I saw something darker than the natural dark in my house. Again, with the darker than dark shit, Everett. Yeah. The natural dark of my house, and I remember feeling like I was going to die. I pulled my brother in and shut the door and turned on the lights and started A Bug's Life over, and we didn't sleep that night. I'm 20, and he just turned 17, and he will not talk about it. I showed up many times in my life, no matter where I went. I've lived a lot of places with a lot of people, and they all end up seeing it. Fast forward to now, my boyfriend and I have lived in our house for about a year. Well, recently our bedroom door locks from the inside, and we have a small one-bedroom house with 3 cats. We don't even usually shut the door, but we'll get up and it will be shut and locked. About a week ago, my 26-year-old skeptic boyfriend was more terrified than I've ever seen anyone, and it gets creepier. So I sleepwalk a lot, and he knows not to wake me up and watch me to make sure I'm okay. Anyway, Tuesday I worked until 6, and he got home around 7:35-ish. I had dinner done, and we laid down and fell asleep pretty fast, as I remember. Well, he told me I got up out of bed, walked out of the room, and he says he followed me to the door, and I turned around and closed it and started crying and jiggling the handle. When he opens the door, he saw exactly what I saw in our hallway. The way he described it, I have goosebumps writing this because the exact same thing that happened when I was a child, and I'm almost positive that I never told him that story. Yeah, so she says she sage smudge, which are supposed to be like cleansing techniques or whatever. She's tried salt, holy water, and just plain asking nicely, and it just makes shit worse. So she saw an entity when she was a kid, darker than dark. Her and her brother had an experience when they were real young.
And it stayed with her whole life.
It stayed with her.
Not her brother, but her.
Yeah, and it stayed with her to every house that she's ever been in and lived in. She saw this. Well, now she's 26 or so with her, her boyfriend's 26. So she's 20, and her 26-year-old, she describes him as a skeptic. Like, the dude's always been a skeptic because she says she never told him this because he's a skeptic. And he was, you know, more scared than she's seen anybody because he saw the same thing that she saw.
Look.
What do you think?
First for me is what makes us think that light suddenly becomes safe zone? I mean, that's the first reaction.
I can tell you why. Because in the dark, there's unknown. You can't see. If it's a dark room, a closet, you can't see what's in there. You have no clue if there's a person with a knife or if it's just empty.
I don't think there's a complete darkness to where you don't know where the fuck things are or where they're at, or even on the shadows, you'll still see a dark couch or a dark fucking corner or whatever. You'll still see that. But what makes us so passive towards light than darkness? I mean, it just we're so much more comfortable on the light aspect. Like her and her brother, at the time, they felt, hey, let's turn the lights on. Well, I mean, it's a human instinct to turn the light on, but what makes us gravitate towards the light?
Well, light scares away, like fire, flame scares away animals. It's just throughout history, you know, you're safe with light.
Do you use light to, yeah, I mean, like
animals said, hunt in darkness. Anything hunts in darkness where they can see and you can't. I mean, that's the scary, like lions and.
Yeah, it's about putting yourself on equal ground, I think, is what it is. You know what I mean? Because if they can attack you in the dark, you can't see them. But once you spark the light up, now you can see around you. It maybe sets you at ease a little bit, like you're on equal ground with whatever could be there.
Okay, then pause right there. Then what you're saying is something that attacks you in the dark is the one that's the evil.
Because I'm not saying that.
No. But it boils down to something attacking in the dark is the one that's the predator, which is the one that wants to kill.
Yeah,
well, let's put it this
way.
If it attacks me in the light or the dark, I think it's evil.
That's true, yeah.
I just want to be able to see it coming.
Yeah.
And if there's a chance that if it has an aversion to light?
It's a self-preservation mechanism, I think, stored way back in our DNA from when we was cavemen trying to fight off saber-tooth tigers. I said it. There it is.
I think it's a little bit more than that. I think the dark represents the demonic world and the light. Everything that centers around light is the sanctuary, the peaceful world, the anything that you can see in front of you is what I think we thrive for. But in the darkness, you're afraid of that. I think it all boils down to, I don't want to sound like the wacko here, but the whole demonic world centers around darkness. Darkness is something that preys on or kills, right?
Let's look at it like this, too. In the beginning, God said, let there be light.
Yeah, big guy
out of darkness.
Light, yeah.
So God created light. There was darkness without God. God is safe. God is protection. I mean, if you think about it in a Christian sort of way.
Right.
And it's probably that way for other religions, but I'm too much of a heathen in every other religion to know, you know, what the creation is and how light fixes in. But, yeah, darkness has always been.
And that's what made me think of her and her brother. So I wanted to start off with that.
Do you buy the story itself? Do you buy what Eric just read, like that it happened the way she says it happened?
I don't know what the hell we have to counter that, and why would she go through all that?
That's where we keep ending up, too. We don't know the person well enough to say whether they're credible or not. It sounds like the way she tells the story, it sounded like she believed it.
And also, and I've noticed something about going through all these stories. We're scouring the internet for these paranormal stories. A lot of people... Like, and I kept going back to what you said last week. Like, these are so well written in some cases that I feel like some of these people are testing out their shorts.
I threw out some of these because I thought there was, like, definitely bullshit.
Yeah, that like, people are writing short stories to try to, you know, get, I mean, and like I said, some of them are so fucking well written.
I must have read probably 70 or 80 of these, and it's hard to find the ones
I probably did 45 or 50. I don't think I got through 70 or 80, but I fucking did a bunch.
I guess I'm too hard on them because I read them like, this is bullshit. I'm out of here. Or it's just too well written.
Well, there's some that I did that were like too long. If it was like I didn't want to sit here and read text for 3 pages of text. You know what I mean?
I got a couple long ones.
I could have synopsed, but.
Well, let me hit my first one here.
All right, what do you got?
It is called I Don't Believe in Paranormal, and this is the weird title, but a story my family experienced together. I guess it's here's a story my family experienced together. And I've got it marked here as a creepy level 5. This was posted one day ago on Reddit.com/r/paranormal.
Heard.
Sorry if this is too long and not scary, but it's real events. This happened around 4 years ago. I am a firm non-believer and very much interested in scientific explanations. But the incident is something me and my family experienced together. And to believe them, I kept telling myself, they're family and why would they lie? Some backstory. My family is me, male 18 at the time. My younger sister and our mother. We moved to a bigger flat in 2014 after living at our old place for 6 years. Both my sister and I were now working, so we could finally afford something bigger. There was nothing creepy or scary about the place. It was fairly new, ground floor, two-bedroom flat. I don't know when it was built or what it was built on. None of my family is religious except for my mother, with the occasional prayer. Around 6 months after we'd settled in, one night my mother was sleeping with my sister because they watched a movie together and fell a bed asleep. She woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and saw someone walking towards the kitchen. It was dark, and the only light source was a street light through the window blinds. Thinking it was me, she followed to the kitchen. No one was there. She had some water, thought nothing of it, and went back to bed. That same night, around 15 minutes after her, I woke up at around 3:30 a.m. and went to make a frozen pizza in the kitchen. All was normal. When she told us what she saw the next day, she said she thought it might have been a burglar. Around a month later, I was watching YouTube videos in bed throughout the night and fell asleep around 3 a.m. The laptop screen was still on, and I was sleeping facing the wall away from the screen. I had sleep paralysis. You guys ever heard of sleep paralysis?
I've heard of it, but never experienced it.
I have.
Have you experienced it? Or?
I've experienced it.
So what exactly is it?
Man, I don't know how to explain it, but I got all tensed up, and somehow I tried to get out of it. I'm trying, and my jaw's tightened up. I found myself, like, here's my bedroom, and right outside is a hallway, and there's steps that go. This happened to me around when I was 17 years old, and I found myself on top of the steps. Not on top of the steps, but just laying on the bottom part, like 3-4 rows up, and I'm just like, I finally got rid of it. I was too ashamed to even tell my mom.
I think you had a seizure.
That's what they say. I don't know what it is, a seizure or what, but I felt it as a seizure. And then for years later, I found out it was that, and then I had one more of those, and it's like there's not a damn thing I can do, and I'm seeing something scary in front of me that I can't. I'm locked in. I'm locked into where I can't get out of
it. That goes a lot with what I've read online. People, they wake up, but they cannot move. They seem to be in a completely frightened paralysis.
Yes.
Man. All right, let's keep going here. I had sleep paralysis, but I'm prone to sleep paralysis, so much.
Sleep paralysis is not. So sleep paralysis is when.
Did you just Google this?
You've fallen asleep. Or are about to fall asleep, and you're unable to move or speak, but you're completely aware of what's going on around you. But you are technically asleep, but you can observe everything.
So they say that happens as well with anesthesia.
Yeah. And so, because you can be completely awake during a surgery and feel everything and not ever be able to communicate that.
Yeah. Anyway, where was I?
Travin. Night Travin got that as well. Night Travin 4.
Move your toes to wake up, he says. All right, here we go. I had sleep paralysis. I'm prone to sleep paralysis so much that I'm used to it, no longer scared of it because I know I always wake up. But this time, I felt like my sister came into my room and was laying next to me in bed. You hallucinate a lot during sleep paralysis, and I felt the warmth as if someone was laying next to me. I opened my eyes, and her shadow was on the wall due to the laptop screen, but I wasn't able to move. I closed my eyes and waited for the sleep paralysis to end, like always. A few minutes later, once able to move, the first thing I did was turn around to check. No one was next to me, just the bright laptop screen. I turned towards the wall, and the shadow was just my shadow. I thought to myself, me opening my eyes and seeing the shadow was just another hallucination. I turned down the laptop lid and went back to sleep. The next morning, my sister was telling our mother about what she saw last night when I walked into the living room. I asked her about it. She said last night she woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't move, saw a figure of a girl sitting in the corner of her bed facing away, who then stood up and left her room. Her room is adjacent to mine. I said it must be sleep paralysis because I had a similar thing happen to me, and I told them my story. My sister and I love horror movies. We'd seen The Conjuring and it has the three knocks. The next night, we started hearing the three knocks from our kitchen. My mother had started sleeping with my sister as they were both scared. At first, I used to think it's just pipework or tried to think of real explanations, but it wasn't an old house, and the knocks were coming from someone banging against the wall. You could clearly hear it. We started doing research as to why this would be happening when we realized that the night of the incident was a new moon night. There were some dark paintings of an Aboriginal spirit artwork, including in the flat inventory. My mother got rid of them without caring about the fees. So I guess you had to pay for your trash pickup. Anyway, at this point, my sister and my mother were too scared to be in the house alone. My mother had covered the flat with crosses and the pictures of Mary, Jesus, or any of the other stuff, and movement sensor lights. After this, we kept hearing the three knocks at random times, even in the middle of the day. I just don't believe in the supernatural, so I was the only one who could be in the house alone. I started saying things like, please stop knocking. They used to ensure our schedules matched so that I had to come back from the flat from work, I would also be there. My mother told the estate agent she wanted to leave the house, even at the risk of sounding crazy. She told them she had reasons. She had a Catholic priest around the flat, and even a religious Buddhist ceremony was conducted by one of her friend's relatives. She just wanted out.
Wait, and this chick's still not believing it?
The guy, the other person telling the story said he's not believing it, but...
Well, and he's saying, please get out?
Yeah, well, who's kind of contradictory to themselves, because he had the sleep paralysis, thought he found something. I guess he's a skeptic, but is having trouble reconciling his skepticism versus what he's experienced. It says, our one-year term was over soon after that, and we found a place nearby. Nothing strange has occurred. Still have no explanations. That's basically the end of the story right there. What do you think of that?
That's pretty fucked up.
The ones that are weird where the whole family's kind of experience it. Those are like, that reminds me of the movies, you know what I mean? Because
I'm going to tell you guys, if I mean, something to that shadow thing, it happened to me. And you guys know me. Everett, you know me. I'm not bullshitting.
Mm-hmm.
Not Everett. You're Everett. You're Eric.
I know what you mean.
But I'm telling you guys right now, this fucking thing went down with me. A New York house. New York house, that's where we lived. Wasn't that big of a investment for my dad. He put $10,000 into the house. He fucking fixed it up for another $10,000. We had ourselves a house. I'm a little kid, and it's a two-story and an attic, so three-story. It's a nice big house.
Sure.
All right, but it was run down, and it took my dad months to fix. Any case, we fucking move in. It's my sister and I in one room, in the hallway, and then my mom and dad at the end of the hallway. Another fucking bedroom over there. Now, here's where it gets interesting. One night, she's sleeping on one side of the room, kind of like those twin beds. Twin bed there, a little path between us.
Right, sure.
If you guys believe me, I hope you guys do, because I'm not making this shit up. In the middle of the fucking night, I woke up with my eyes open, and in the dark is a silhouette of someone hanging in front of me. I'm still laying in bed, and I'm watching this thing just as clear as day. My hair on my fucking arm still standing up talking about this.
How old were you?
I was about 7-8 years old. Seven, 8 years old, and I covered my head up. I opened it, and it's still fucking hanging there. And I ran towards the door, turned the light on, and from that moment, it was gone. To this very fucking day, there's got to be a light in my fucking room.
Really?
All right, there's got to be light in my room. All
right.
A week later, my sister and I are talking, 3 a.m. We haven't slept. We're laughing it up and everything like that. We close the door on our door. Three hard knocks. My parents never fucking knocked on a 7-year-old kid's door. They just walked right. We knew that wasn't our parents. Our parents never did that. Next morning, we come up to my mom. She goes, that was the squirrels upstairs. Fuck, how the fuck can a squirrel be knocking on my door like that, Mom? Yeah, it wasn't a knock. I get shut up, go to sleep. There was nothing wrong with that. Your house is good. Okay. Years went by. Now I'm in St. Louis area. My mom, I ask her, and there was an attic up there that when we went up there, it had Hot Wheel magazines and stuff like that. The guy was definitely into the cars and stuff like that. And I'd always get a spooky fucking sense of that upstairs. It was a long, steep climb, too. You get up there and all shit still laid out there. My dad did not touch the upstairs at all. He felt he didn't need to. Anyway, years later, my mom, I told her, you know what? I felt something wrong in that knocking on the door, and I told you about someone hanging over my bed. You know what she tells me? The guy we bought the house from committed suicide upstairs in the attic and killed himself. He hung himself up there.
Really?
Well, why the fuck would you put me through all that and tell me it's a fucking squirrel?
Because she can't tell you that when you're that young.
I know, but man, wouldn't you protect your kid?
That's what she did.
How is that protection?
I mean, there's different ways of protection. By telling you that it was just a squirrel, that way you don't go, you know, it's not a ghost or whatever. She could have just, like, consoled you and said, it's all right. I'm sure it's just your imagination. But she decided to go the squirrel route to make it seem like it's completely plausible. You did hear it, but it's completely explainable.
Yeah.
That's probably what
she was trying to do. That's the route I would have went.
I wouldn't want to go that route now. Knowing how times have changed with our adults, how our parents used to be. I talk to my kid. I talk to my kids. What's going on here over here?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I talk to my kids like, well, that could have been a ghost in that house. There's no way I would live in that house there to my daughter. I would tell them that. And she'd say, what about our house? And I say, nothing's happened in our house. We bought it from German people that were good people. They moved to Florida, and they're the ones that built the house, so there's nothing here. I make that statement. Now, I'd like to ask you guys this question. Would you buy a house that's had a murder in it?
Yeah.
You would.
I mean, if the price was right.
Well, the price is definitely right. It's $1.5 million house. Now they're selling it for $400,000.
Fuck yeah.
Because there's some shit that happened in that house.
Hold on. I can't afford $400,000. You drop it down to $300,000. That's right around where I'm heading.
$300,000.
There we go.
$300,000. All right. $300,000.
Yes. And it's, say it's $1 million house or a $500,000 house. And it's what I'm looking for? I don't care. Somebody killed themselves or murdered.
There's no fucking way I could do that.
A guy could have killed his whole family as long as they got the blood off the floor.
Oh, my God. What about you?
Hang on, Eric. still doing support. Hang on.
Well, you got UGC stuff going on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyways, close your laptop then. Fuck that. Make somebody else do it.
What would you do? Would you buy $1.5 million on the house, and it's now $300,000, but a guy's killed his entire family in each fucking room. There's fucking some sort of stained memory on this fucking house.
Yeah.
You would buy it?
If I had the money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Another fucking
I don't believe that you can
money pit. There's no fucking way you guys will be out of there.
Look, I've saw Money Pit. I don't know why the guy would take a $3 million house and sell it for $250,000. You know, is that what he says?
$1 million house for you. It doesn't matter. You get to capitalize on someone else's misfortune.
Yeah. Exactly. I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah,
as long as there was like, you know, if obviously there's blood stains on the floor, I'm getting the fucking wood changed.
That's what I said.
The walls are getting painted or drywall's changed. Yeah, no, I'm okay.
That's unrest, though, man.
I might try to sell it.
Danielle, my dad growing up bought a house for $50,000 because it was supposed to be haunted. I can't live in something like that.
See, it doesn't bother me. Though, just now listening to your story a few minutes ago, I actually remembered like a weird memory from childhood. You remember Grandma Maureen lived on Ohio Street?
Yeah.
She used to always say that that house where she lived at was haunted and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I remember sleeping when I was a kid there and hearing footsteps around that little bitty apartment she lived in. It was like not a duplex, but a fourplex, you know what I mean? Four houses built in the same building, one story down in the poor area of East Alton. It's not a particularly old. They were built like early World War II to support the bullet building area.
Right.
But anyway, I remember now as a kid being under the covers, middle of the night, quiet house, but I would hear walking around in that house. I'd be just fucking scared.
I stayed there just as much as you just never heard that.
See that? I don't
never know.
Okay,
but no, you didn't stay there as much as I did. I guarantee you I stayed there way more than you did.
Is that right?
Guarantee you. Probably on there three or four more times more often than you did.
Well, Mr. Badass, then how the fuck are you going to make it if you hear anything coming out of this house?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I without having stayed there before and you're just telling me the story, yes. I'm not heeding a warning. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about buying that house.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to heed the warning if somebody said this man killed his whole family there. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry he did that. I'm not scared that there's automatically going to be a curse or a ghost or latent energy.
Now I move in and shit turns up to be wonky. I'm
going to sell it.
Shit
floating around the fucking house.
You're not gonna sell it. It's been up on the market forever.
Right.
And for $1.5 million, it's down to $200,000.
Yeah.
It hasn't sold. Now you're going to be stuck with this
$200,000. Insurance, light it on fire.
New realtor. And you don't tell anybody, you don't disclose it's haunted or someone killed themselves there. You just say, look at this nice fucking $900,000 house.
You have to disclose. It's
haunted?
Not that it's haunted. Any kind of pre-existing condition or anything like that, you have to, by law, you have to disclose. There's a part of your contract that's called disclosure.
And plus, this new guy that's looking at this house has seen fucking this house has been 15 years ago. It went up for $2.5 million. Now it's down to $200,000. And this guy here wants to sell it to me for $150,000 or $225,000.
Leaky roof, bad foundation.
It's a tough fucking gig. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a tough sell.
So what's the difference between $200,000 and $1.5 million if you're going to be eating $200,000?
I don't think there's any way that you couldn't recoup your money on that. I would like to see. There's no way that a deal like that's happening without somebody fucking jumping on it.
Well, they've jumped on it. There's been times I watched that fucking travel channel, and people are just living a life of nightmare. Yeah. I mean, that shit's in, that entity's in that house, and it's fucking causing relationships. It's causing people to not sleep. It's causing people just to fucking divorce. And someone's going to end up staying in that house and fucking shooting themselves after a while, because you know what? Shit's not going to get easy in that fucking place.
Oh, I bet not.
I don't disagree with you there. Eric, you want to hear your next story up?
Yeah, next one I got was posted 21 days ago, and it's by Brianna Bell. Is what the username is. My life as an indigo child, but I'm 22 and still being tormented. That's the title. So without further ado, here we go. Indigo, did you know anything about indigo children before
no,
I start this?
Tell us about that.
Indigo children are allegedly kids that were born in the 70s that have like a really natural sensitivity to spirituality and are they're supposed to like protect their family from evil spirits because they have like they can see them at all times, like Whoopi and Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Like that's like what they're saying, like psychic ability almost. Not psychic, but yeah, no psychic.
Sure.
Can talk. Yeah, so that's kind of what an indigo child is there. Just different like name
and
for
that's
it.
Only in the 70s?
No, they just said that there was a strong a resurgence of those sensitive people that was born in the 70s. So like there's a movement, and on their website, because I actually had to go look all this up, they say that, you know, like there was a really big wave in the 70s. There was another smaller wave in the 90s of them being born. It's like it comes in waves with these indigo children. So, well, here it goes. So my life as an indigo child started when I was 5 years old. I was laying in bed and couldn't sleep when I heard a little girl crying and sat up to see what it is. I look over at the girl about my age and at that time maybe a little older, sitting Indian style on the floor crying. I asked her if she was okay, and she responded with, "My dad killed me and my best friend, and I have nowhere to go." I told her that she can stay with me because, after all, I was a little girl too, and I didn't know any better. I've seen such things before, such as in my first house, there was the man who stood over my crib and in the hallway at night in a trench coat and a top hat watching me and my sister sleep.
Okay, that's creepy as fuck.
He was nice. We looked up to him. From this night forward, I kept seeing her day after day, and she became my best friend. Her name was Rachel, and she wore a blue and white dress and had light brown hair. She was really sweet and helped me move through. She helped me through everything, through my parents. Yeah, though my parents thought I was crazy because I always talked about Rachel. They never met her, and none of my teachers knew who I was talking about. Eventually, they brought me to therapy. This is where it gets interesting. Eventually, they brought me to therapy because they kept finding me talking to walls and to myself in my sleep and telling stories of men and women who needed guidance from me and talking about my friends who have died and need advice on how to move on. So that's the indigo child part, right? So, like, this is the type of shit she deals with as that. Here we go. So eventually they brought me to therapy. So I did a lot of research and began the therapist did a lot of research and began to test me for different disabilities and other world abilities. She has that in quotations. Basically wanted to see if I had a gift or a curse. Kind of like Monk, I guess. One day she approached me about being an indigo child, and suddenly it all made sense. Although there are waves of us and I am in between the waves, making me sort of unusual. So basically
her psychologist asked her or come to the conclusion you're an indigo child.
Yeah, because he was super spiritual.
I'm thinking this lady needs to have her license removed. Anyway.
Agreed. So basically, my whole life thus far has been nothing but protecting myself and loved ones from angry entities that would come and suffocate me with their presence. I've been taken over, manipulated, stalked, watched, hurt, and confided in by these MFs. I am now 22 years old, and I still get harassed by them, just not as much as I used to. These days, I am older and stronger than I used to be, so things are a little different. They come around with large groups of people, of course, because everyone has... there's someone to watch them or fuck with them whenever they see and believe it or not. That's terrible writing.
It's terrible reading.
No, they come around with large groups of people, of course, because everyone has their someone that's watched them or fuck with them. Yeah, no, I read that right. Whether they see it or believe it or not. So when I'm sitting around, so what she's saying is everyone has somebody that's coming to watch them or fuck with them. Whether they believe it or not,
everybody's got
a visitor, yeah. Sure. And so what these indigo children do is they can see them and communicate with them.
Oh, cool.
So the kid from
Sixth Sense was kind of like an indigo child.
Yeah, so whether or not we want to believe it, everybody's got somebody that's either there to fuck with them or watch over them. And when I'm sitting around a group of friends and know they're there with us, they love to make little movements and noises to freak them out. Sometimes I'll get scared because I know that they're not happy and I try to change the subject and move on. My best friend is very sensitive to them, as she can also feel the presence and gets nervous. Needless to say, I'm typing this and hearing talking all around me on the walls when I'm trying really hard to just ignore it because I'm not about it today and I don't feel like dealing with it. But hey, what can you do? This is my life as an indigo child.
That's pretty creepy.
That was creepy as fuck, I thought.
I think she's crazy.
I agreed, but yeah.
I tend to go with Biggie on this, only for the sense that I'm thinking the movie Beautiful Minds on this one. I really think that he sees...
Michelle Pfeiffer, Coolio?
No, no, the Beautiful Minds with Russell Crowe.
Oh, that's Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe had his group of friends and people that were always talking to him and everything. And I think that that's the scenario with this case. I don't think this is... has anything to do with ghosts. I really think that this is more just an inner conflict and all this shit happening.
Could be. Could very well be. Could be like how they said people back in the day, their brain, like the halves of their brains weren't connected, so literally the thoughts they were having between the halves of their brains they thought was another person talking to them inside their head.
Really?
Just psychotics, yeah.
Which brings me up to another thing here. I wrote it down so I don't forget. Kids talking to invisible friends. I think...
That's what she described here.
I know, but now I heard her say that, and I wrote it down. But how much do you put into that? I mean, my kid sits there and really fucking acts like there's kids there that she's playing with.
So imaginary friend, when do you get scared of the imaginary friend?
When, as a parent, do you go, hey, what the fuck is she doing over there, wife? I mean,
she's happy. What's the big deal?
She's very happy.
As long as it's not getting
creepy. I try not to hate on anybody that has an imaginary friend, because I got adults that got them.
Who?
A lot of people.
Adults?
So you're making a joke, Aaron.
I am making a joke. And
I thought he had it.
Yeah, he's fucking not funny. I don't know his promise. He's trying to be funny.
It was funny.
Big E is popping some points today.
As a referee.
I'm giving it to Big E again.
It was a non-believer joke in God.
See, I love how he shits all over this as a non-believer, but he's still scared. He's still scared.
You know what, folks? I'm telling you guys,
that I don't like scary movies?
I think it's a big fucking
nothing to do
problem
with
right there.
Let's go put him on the shrink's couch, and boy, I'm sure we're going to get some interesting stuff out of him.
I don't like scary movies.
Let's have Dr. Armand come in here and get to the deep part with you.
He wouldn't even cut my fucking back open. So I can imagine he's no... training whatsoever on psychiatry.
He's a foot fucking doctor.
I know. I tried to get him to cut my back and he wouldn't do it. I know he's got the numb and
he's
stuff
not
in
a back
the scalpel.
Doctor.
Yeah, but he's got a scalpel.
Okay. What did you want your back cut?
I think I got this thing.
He's got a spot on his back.
You're going to trust a fucking foot doctor?
As long as he cleans his utensils, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I would never
Who's
trust
crazier,
him.
Who's crazier, the doctor who will do it or the one person who would trust him?
I don't know.
Fuck you guys.
Anyway.
I got no idea on that one.
Let's try to get through a couple more of these stories here.
For sure.
So my next one's called Grandma, a Demon Story.
Oh, damn.
It was posted by someone named
That's an evil bitch.
The Archery Princess, weird name, 3 months ago. So here we go. It says, I will start with this. I'm not a believer nor a denier in the supernatural and stuff. However, the story is as true as I can remember.
Really?
When I was younger, I would go to visit my grandma down in Mexico. To be more specific, in Durango, in the municipality of Canadland. I'm not too good with my Mexican areas. She was the only reason we went there. It was a nice little house on the front, in the front face to Cerro or Hill. It was more like a long stretch mountain that spread out into a forest kind of area. I have stories of that too, but I digress. The front door led to the main room and connected it to another small room on the back left. In the room there were two doors. One was the main room and the other was right to the one that led to the kitchen. I fucked that up. You get the point. The kitchen wasn't very big, but it stretched out from the door and was only about 7 or 8 feet long. At the end of the kitchen, there was a door that led outside. Behind the house, the backyard was fenced, and it led to a slanted angle down to a river. Mind, there was tall grass everywhere, and the whole thing stretched 200 feet or probably more. This is all important, or at least relevant, to the story ahead. My grandma was the sweetest, food-making, hug kind of grandma, and she loved telling me stories about the weird different things she had seen and stories passed down by my ancestors. My mom's side of the family is Native American. When I was 9, she told me the story of a demon that would follow to the river behind the house and that every few years it would go the length of this river. Let's see. I, of course, being the kid that I was, I took this as a crazy off story to entertain me. This is what she told me. The demon doesn't seek out anyone or go out of its way to kill someone, say, from overlooking the river from a distance. But on occasion, it would come to the houses and stay in the empty rooms, only wishing to not be disturbed. Once she said this, her demeanor changed completely. She put her hand on my shoulders and met my eyes and said this in Spanish. You have one chance and one only. If you ever walk into an empty room in the dark and it is abnormally black in an area where you see the silhouette of black and red. Isn't that weird? Like this
what
continuous,
the fuck? This is a this, thing?
Yeah, this apparently this overwhelming blackness. It kind of makes me weird, the story I tell about that. That's like kind of...
You're giving him credence, people.
Yeah, they're not, but anyway. Where was he? She put her hand on my shoulder. Blah, blah, blah. You have one chance and one only. If you ever walk into an empty room in the dark and is abnormally black in an area or see the silhouette of black and red, simply leave the room and close the door. Do not open the door until the next morning. If you disturb the demon or return it without hesitation, it will kill you and drag you to the river.
I don't believe that.
As she said this, her voice was filled with a sense of dread and importance. 3 years later, I go back to visit my grandma, still happy, still making me food. I was there for a month as it was summer. My mom wanted to take care of my grandma as we knew she was dying and didn't have but a year or two at most. Around week two was when it happened. It was a normal day, a beautiful one actually. Lots of green this time of year. Then the night came. My grandma and mom were sleeping in the main room. My brother, cousin, and I were in the other. All three sleeping on each other as the couch was just big enough. I woke up for no reason. It was a lot darker than I'm used to since there was no real streetlights, just the moon. Well, no real reason to panic, just out of my element. As my eyes focused, I began to make out the door. This wasn't a normal door like the one that led to the main room. No, this was an old plank wood door with holes and cracks. I thought I heard some small movement in the kitchen. After all, it wasn't out of the ordinary for a street car or other animal, a street cat or other animal
street
to sneak,
car, eh?
Yeah, to sneak in and move some stuff around for food. Curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to look through. I was as quiet as I possibly could be, not because of the usual eerie or dread feeling, more in line with any noise that was much louder as there were no cars or city noises, just silence. I was on all fours looking through a small hole. I looked around and nothing. It just seemed kind of empty. As I turned away, I heard it. A soft, almost too calm kind of breathing. I looked again, but this time I decided to look for a longer period of time to let my eyes adjust. As I scanned the room, it seemed normal, but then my eyes darted back to the left corner. Almost like a rabbit seen a coyote. My stomach sunk hard. I saw something huddled in the corner. My mind told me to scream, but my instincts told me to hold back and not move a muscle. That is until I heard a noise, almost like wood breaking. Then again, and as I realized what it was, the terror truly set in. I saw it move, and in an instant, I placed my back to the door as the cracking continued. When it stopped, a red, soft glow began to come through the cracks in the door. The breathing got louder but kept the same pace. When I heard the breathing, my eyes darted to my brother and cousin, who, to my surprise, were locked motionless as they faced the door, eyes wide open. We heard some wood utensils that were hanging move in the glow with it. As this happened, we heard the door to the outside make a small creak and the glow disappear. We heard it move slowly through the tall grass down to the river. Some minutes later, we heard dogs barking in the distance, almost as if being mauled. I fell asleep on the door. The next morning, my grandma woke up to make us breakfast, and she saw my face was pale. When I explained what happened, she said I did a good job and to never forget the mercy this thing may or may not have showed us the night before. I swear this happened to me and I have many more stories like this, blah, 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 blah. Fucking another demon in the house like that, doing the same thing, just sitting, like from what we told over the stories we had the other day, these demons like to come in, if this is real, this is just something we're just seeing as a repetitive thing in these stories, and just sit there and chill in your house. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, like, you know what? I don't buy that.
You don't buy it?
I don't buy that. If the house is totally into God, I mean, there is, if we're going in the spiritual world, there's good and there's bad. How can bad just walk into the good like that? If that good house has got all the crucifixions and stuff and this house is really into goodness, I don't think hell can get in. I don't think demonic forces can get into the house.
That's if everything like this is Christian-based.
Christian-based, of course. And I'm telling you this as when, I guess it was high school, when I had a music teacher that said don't let anyone play with Ouija boards in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we fucking played Ouija boards in the house and everything like that. I did it in college, and this fucking thing, my girlfriend bought it that night from, I think, Kmart or some shit.
I'm
like
sure
that
the song
back
everywhere.
Then
I think Mattel makes them or somebody. Yeah, Parker, yeah. Brothers.
And we went to downstairs in her basement. We got this fucking thing out. And I go, you better not fucking look as we're doing this. If I know that what you're doing, I'm going to be turned off and I'll just pull out of it. She goes, no, this is the first time I got it too. All right. So we put our hands on the fucking thing and the thing's going. I mean, the stuff that was coming out, our kids, we're going to have kids together. One kid's going to be 6'7", play for Notre Dame football. All this shit that's just, and we're just enjoying that night. It's things are going really. And then all of a sudden, this fucking thing starts going wacky and then says something like, I'm in next door closet. And I pulled my fucking hand off. And I go, well, what did you have to do that for? That was fucked up. She goes, I didn't do any of that shit.
Oh, that's creepy.
And that night, there was some wind coming out of the fucking closet. We're in the basement. There should not be any wind coming out of a closet.
I want to say there was a logical explanation for the draft, though. Probably.
Really? All right. Well, it hasn't happened one time that I was down there with Amy, and that was the girl's name. And we just freaked out. I got the hell out of there. I went back to my college that night.
I've never had any crazy experiences like that. No, I've seen them. They don't do anything for me. You were talking about like things that we noticed that were similar a lot of these stories. Do you know what the witching hour is?
Mm-mm.
Not the podcast.
Yeah, I know the podcast. Those guys are cool.
So the 3 a.m.
Witching hour, dude, and all her.
That's when spirits are their most active and rambunctious, and that's why they call it the witching
hour. Like Twilight or whatever.
I read in the comments that someone had, that's how I learned this, but that's what that is. And a lot of these stories were like, I woke up and the clock read 3:35 or 4:89 or, you know, 4:10. Like, they're all right around this fucking hour and a half period. Like, it was crazy.
That's interesting. I never.
Well, you know, my point to
you
this
had
was,
one earlier that was like 2:46.
Yeah, right around the 3 o'clock hour. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, man. That's the witching hour.
Well, my point was to all that is there's got to be some sort of an invitation to these demonic forces to get in the house.
It's like a vampire.
And in Mexico, you have a lot of people there that it's almost like cult, but they bring it all towards Christianity. They have.
Well, look at the Day of the
Dead
thing.
They have saints that are like skeletons and stuff like that. Yeah. I think that they've gone a little AWOL on that. And if you're a Hispanic, I'm sorry, but those are the frightening shit that gets into your house. And then you know what? I think you're leaving yourself exposed if you're into the spiritual world. I know you're not.
Yeah, that's something that you're into, obviously, for sure. Wow, man, I got a good one. You ready for my next one?
Sure.
My next one is titled The Occult in a Small Town, and this was posted 2 months ago by the Mystery Press. So that sounds made up. But I met my contact at the Stony Plain Golf Course off of Fairway Drive. It was roughly just past 10, and the sun had vanished for the night. I waited in my car after lighting a cigarette, saw an older model of a domestic car pull up a few cars away. Before I could roll down the window, my contact stepped out and was roughly a few feet away from me. Slowly, I opened my door and stepped out. Excuse me. The air was tense, and I felt that at any moment I was going to be either running for my life or become a banquet for the bugs, though that never came to bother me. As we began to speak, he went by no name. He told me before we started that I was not going to release any of his information, and with that agreement, we started talking. And here the fucker is on Reddit releasing his information.
Son of a bitch.
Anyway. He went on to describe in full
detail. We can't trust this guy already.
Right? He went on and described in full detail the actions of digging up graves, though he never went into detail if they were fresh or old. Many times you'd hear stories of people digging up graves of the recently deceased for fresh skulls. For the fresher the skull, the more powerful the spell will become, or in this case, opening a portal
makes sense.
To that of hell. The information I was getting was that they started out as a few friends who were bored one night that grew toward killing small animals and blood drinking. Soon their numbers grew with the teenage outcasts. A weird power came over them, and they soon turned towards people. Though I was told they never crossed the line of murdering an innocent soul, we know that day will arrive soon, as it always often does.
Always does.
My contact has felt that the group has taken a turn toward the more ghoulish aspects on the spectrum. I know the very thought of this group crossing the line by means of already drinking the blood of animals would make anyone reading this believe that they've already crossed that line a long time ago. Now, before you ask, what about the police? Why aren't they getting involved?
What about the police?
Oh, shit. Why aren't they getting involved?
Oh, good question.
And these are both very well questions. I've asked this before, and the only explanation I was given was that some members of the police force and those in surrounding areas are already members. Oh. That's why the cult can never get busted. Not even a single mention in the mainstream media before many years ago there was a group of teens in Camrose who put a cat in a microwave and did other acts of occult activity. These practices do happen. They happen more than anyone would like to think. You can take what I say with a grain of salt if you wish, but I would like to say that the world and humanity are messed up elements. Good on their own, but put together, insanity happens. Our talk was cut short as a high influx of traffic began to make my contact feel as if he was on the brink of being caught. He promised that we'd speak again and return with a list of names of others who have influenced in government. But with that being said, I want to assure you, the readers, that I will not let this story die. No edit at all made available. 2 months ago.
Weird.
Yeah, so this guy's talking about his small town, and everybody's fucking involved in it.
This is just out of a movie, man.
We got a lineup media that writes scripts, too, and I think this has already been written.
This is an Armand movie, isn't it?
His is fucking an alien.
Oh, there's no monsters and aliens in World War One.
Didn't he steal shit like that from me with the emblem? I mean, it's almost... He suddenly bordered line.
And there was a lot of, like, the emblem had some digging shit, like we were underground in that.
Right.
And there's an underground in his newest script, too. I mean, he steals shit from me. We'll say inspired by the Ultraman.
Anyway, that's what we got on that.
I thought that one was pretty crazy, though.
I'm going to read. We're running a little short on time here, so I've got one that I didn't source from R Paranormal. I found another subreddit you should probably check out. It's called R No Sleep.
Now these are till Brooklyn or
no, just no sleep. It's creepy enough stories where they're sleep till Brooklyn. They're going to take away your ability to sleep. Basically, it's that creepy. So this is one of the first ones I found. It was good enough to where I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm putting this on my list and we'll read it. So it's titled, I Can See People's Auras, and it's a curse.
Damn.
It was posted by someone named UA10A10A10 one year ago. Hmm. It is a gilded post. Somebody gave it gold because they liked it enough. So, and it's got over 11,000 upvotes on this post.
No shit. So this is a very popular
post. This is very popular. So it starts out, yes, I can see people's auras. And I hate saying it so bluntly. It makes me sound like some hack psychic who fakes the ability as a means of exploitation and a paycheck. I've never made any money from my ability. I've never taken advantage of it. And until now, I've never spoken of it to anybody. But I really do see them, and I'm starting to view of it more as a curse. I have a reason for typing this out, I assure you, and there isn't a happy ending. For me, it's quite simple. I see a faint light surrounding people, everyone. And in that light, I can see their morality. The brighter and more translucent the light is, the better the person. The darker and opaquer, the worse. Dim and partly translucent are morally ambiguous. To simplify things, there are the three ways I describe them. Dark equals evil, bright equals good, dim equals somewhere in between. It's strange. I've always viewed people with the gray dim auras as arbiters, mediators, people in between, the ones who aren't either, and will always have difficult decisions to make. I was a child when I first became aware of my gift. It didn't take long to figure out that the brighter auras were kinder to me and selfless. While both of my parents are good people, my father's aura was quite a bit brighter than my mother's. As a result, he always had a far more patient, understanding pace with me. It was clear to see that my teachers and fellow students with brighter auras were usually friendlier and more compassionate. The dark auras were the stereotypical fighters, lunch money stealers, and bullies. I would say that I was around 8 years old when I finally fully figured out that I have a gift that most people don't have. And possibly that nobody else has. I've read some of the New Age websites and alternative medicine articles that give their take on aura reading. While I believe that the vast majority of it is bullshit, I expect there must be at least some other people out there with my ability. So I don't want to completely dismiss those people as an outright hoax. It's just that for me, it doesn't work like anything the way the website's described. I've visited numerous aura readers and psychics. Most of them have dim or dark auras themselves. And I'm certain they don't hold this power. I'm not saying all psychics are terrible people. I visited a few who had very bright auras, but they were unable to convince me that they really have psychic powers. But they, at the very least, use their deception to try to help people. You need to understand, I'm going to end this story by sharing a terrifying event of this happening to me.
Oh, shit.
But before I get to that, I think there must be a few things I need to explain. I imagine many of you are curious as to what type of aura is most common. I'm happy to tell you that the majority of people are somewhere between dim and bright. I see very few dark auras. This isn't scientific. I haven't traveled the world plotting out charts and graphs. But I'd estimate that 60% of the world are brightish, around 25% dimish, and at least around 15% to be darkish. Again, these are just estimates. What's the precise difference between bright and dim? I have no idea. But rest assured, there's far more bright in the world than dark. The next thing I'd like to discuss is children. I can see a person's aura right from birth, and I've never encountered an aura changing as someone ages. I'm not sure what this means for the whole nature versus nurture debate, and I'm not saying that everyone with a dark aura always behaves terribly or vice versa. A person with a bright aura might be born into a horrible conditions, acquire a drug problem, and then resort to thievery to feed their addiction. I think the difference is this. A bright aura thief with a horrible upbringing may rob somebody, but they would never intentionally hurt someone in the process. A dark aura thief would kill someone if they could get away with it without a second thought. Another interesting note, I find the ratio between bright, dim, and dark to be slightly or similar across pretty much all human activities. Whether I'm at a church or a death metal concert, it always seems to be that 60-25-15 ratio. I once visited a federal prison and was shocked to see that at least half the prisoners had bright auras. I had to be at the prison in person to see this because I can't see auras on photographs, television shows, movies, or even in mirrors.
That makes sense.
I can only see auras in the real world. Another strange thing, I can't see my own aura. I assume and hope that I would be on the brighter spectrum, but I can't see it. The brightest person I ever saw worked as a social worker. She shone so bright that it was difficult for me to even look at her. Based on the way people acted in her presence, I think that almost everyone around her could sense her brightness in a subconscious way. Huh. Everyone loved her. She had donated a kidney to someone she barely knew. She had a special needs adopted child. Most of the money she earned was donated to various charities. And that's only the little I knew of her. This woman shined so brightly that she scared me. It was scary that someone could be so good. But it wasn't nearly as scary as the darkest person I ever saw. I was 20 years old at the time, leaving a club downtown at 2 a.m. A man quietly walked down the street. I didn't see him at first, but I noticed the light dimming around me. This man was so dark that he partly absorbed the light around him. I looked at him long and hard. He looked desperate and cruel and callous. When I looked up and he locked eyes with me, it made me fall back. He smirked as though he knew what I could see. I saw his face up close. I would never forget it. I recognized it when I saw his mugshot a few weeks later in the newspaper. He had murdered his ex-wife and two children in cold blood. I think I need to get to it now, the reason why I'm writing this out. I fell in love a year ago. She didn't shine anywhere near as bright as what I've seen before, but she most assuredly wasn't dark or even dim. She was beautiful, her sense of humor, her wit, her everything. She was my dream woman. And I've never told anything about the auras that I see. I can go into far more about her, but this isn't a love story. What's important is this. We fell in love. She got pregnant. We got married. We were happy. We were so happy. I remember hearing the buzz on my phone two mornings ago. I remember my excitement when I saw, it's happening. Come to the hospital. I remember my frustration when I got stuck in traffic. I remember how long it took to find a parking spot. I remember shouting at the nurse, what room is my wife in? I remember bursting through a door and seeing the smile on my wife's face. I remember seeing the doctor, the light shining so bright as he told me, congratulations, it's a boy. The doctor held him up to me, and all the light in the room dissipated. No, this can't be, I remember saying. The doctor put him in my arms. The darkness around my son was so absolute that I could barely see him. He was a void. He was so dark that the world barely even existed around him. It was like nothing I had ever experienced. I started weeping. I think my wife and the doctor thought they were tears of joy, but they weren't. Lord knows they weren't. I think back to the dark outline around that man that murdered his family. It was up to that point the darkest I'd ever seen, but the darkness around my son was 100 times worse, 1,000 times worse. And what could possibly be 1,000 times worse than murdering your entire family? It's been 2 days. We're home now. My son's darkness is so extreme that it dims the hallway leading to his room. My wife knows something is wrong. I think she suspects that I'm having regrets about children and all, if she only knew. What do I do? He's my son. Just 20 minutes ago, I stood above him, holding a pillow over his face. But I couldn't do it. Not yet, anyway. A man who can murder his 2-day-old baby boy, what color would his aura be? And here's the thought that keeps me going through my mind as I sit here. The fathers of our worst, the Adolf Hitlers, the Joseph Stalins, the Timothy McVeighs, if their fathers knew what they would become, would they murder them in their cradle? Would they have the strength to hold down the pillow as long as it takes? I can see the door in my son's room from my office. The hallway seems to be growing darker. I look down at my hands as I type this. Maybe I'm going crazy. But there seems to be an aura around my hands and arms now. It's gray. It's dim. Maybe it's always been dim. I'm looking at the pillow beside me. The grayish dim outline around my hands is more apparent than ever. Maybe it's time. Maybe that's why I have this gift. It all comes down to right now. Maybe it's time. I think it's time.
Wow.
And it ends.
That's fucked. So he killed his kid.
I don't know. This was a year ago. I don't know if this is a true story or not, or a writing prompt or not. It just kept me the fuck out whenever I read it.
Yeah, that's a really good story, whether it's real or not. That's a fucking killer story.
Okay, man, you're over there kind of quiet. What do you think?
Well, I don't know what to make of it. I think he really brings up a great, great fucking point with the Joseph Stalins and the Adolf Hitlers.
Would they have done it?
And I gotta ask our group here, what would you have done knowing that this kid, he's gonna kill over 7 to 15 million fucking people out there.
And it's unfortunate. I'm always one on here to say that
he hasn't did it yet.
You can't. Your life can't exactly.
There's nothing you can do to alter it, though.
You don't know that.
No. That's the script I'm giving you, though.
So if you're saying I have irrefutable evidence,
you will know something's.
I've traveled to the future and seen what he's done.
And seen what this kid
and now I'm back.
Is doing.
The only option you have at that point is shoot the kid, then yourself. If you can do anything about it, if you think I couldn't live after I did that to my kid.
Nah, plausible deniability.
I didn't know he was going
to
do that shit.
If the kid is aged to the point and they start doing that and I could recognize and reconcile the fact that this is happening, yeah, then whenever my kid's an adult making decisions, I might be able to stop my kid in some sort of final measure. But as a kid, as a child in a crib, I couldn't do that.
No, not a chance.
Anybody who says
I swear to God, I would do it. I would do it knowing that there is someone, like let's say, what is that, 12 Days of Christmas, if one of those type of Christmas ghosts came up to me and said, this is going to be your son.
Oh, that's the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, Future.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's going to say that is what he's going to be doing. And I mean, if it's all laid out like that, that fucking kid, being my kid, I don't give a shit, is going to die.
I'm not doing it.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it, and I can't let it go any further to where he's a teen or he's adult. Then I'm doomed, because if he is like Damien on the movie Omen, mm-hmm. there is no fucking way I could stop this kid in the future. He's going to have those Rottweilers all around him. He's going to be protected by the head demonic fuck. So this is the best time to get this little
man.
Prick.
I hope you don't have another kid and misread a sign.
No shit.
I would never do it. But I'm saying
theory.
To you, if there's something like that ever came about,
so maybe the guy has glaucoma and cataracts,
and that's why he sees worse.
And that's what he's seeing the blurish around
could
everything.
And since he was a kid, though, that doesn't sound like it.
Light. He could have glaucoma and cataracts.
I don't.
He's overreacting. He should just see an optometrist.
Optometrist?
But do we have this? Do we have this on an everyday basis? And I mean that in...
Do we have what?
This type of aura in us to know that there's a group of people walking towards on the dark sidewalk.
I would love
to think
that.
Something in us that says, you know what? I don't feel good about this, Ocho. Let's walk across the other street, or let's walk the other way. There's something in us, no matter what you say, there's something in us that says, don't do this or don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And maybe this is all related to all this as well.
I mean, it could very well be.
I think
what do you think your aura is? What color, if it's on that scale? White, bright, dim, dark?
I get the choice of dark or dim, no other color.
Dark, dim, or light.
Right.
Okay.
Bright.
Well, you know what? I would probably say I'd be light, because I really care about people. And if I've seen a woman's car break down and she's walking with her kid at 20 degrees, 10 degrees on the highway, and those fucking people out there aren't even pulling over to take her and put her in your car. You know what?
Sounds pretty bright to me.
Something in me says, pick that person up. Put her in the car, take her. I've seen a guy carrying groceries, bags, out in the snow. He can't walk. And I picked him up and taken him home. You know, something like that always comes in me. I can feel good people. People that say, well, I'm not picking up a stranger. Well, fuck. Aren't we all strangers? We got to help each other out a little bit.
No, we're not strangers. I know you.
I'm saying in general.
I would pick you up.
In general. Aren't we all fucking strangers in this life? I mean, we're trying to make things happen.
Eric is a dim. Eric's a dark.
I don't know if I'm a dark.
I don't think he's a dark. There's no way he's a dark.
At least brain power wise, you're dim, that's for sure.
He's dim, though. I give you that.
Why?
Because you know what?
I would say you're probably close to dim. You have a tendency to get violent, like, quickly.
That's not true.
That is totally
true. For everyone listening at home, that's not true.
The first things first is you're like, I kicked that person's ass. That's your first thing. Your first thought in any conflict is fight.
No, he's never
come
across like that to me.
He's totally
that's
that
because Ever makes me behave at work. No, I'm just kidding.
One of the nicest guys I know. You guys are the best bros.
It's always the normal ones, you know.
Danielle says in the chat, best story goes to Everett. I have to fucking agree. That was the best story.
Yeah, that didn't come from our paranormal. That came from our no sleep.
Yeah, that was super good, dude.
So check these websites out real quick. Reddit.com/r/paranormal and Reddit.com/r/no sleep. And there's lots of other little ones out there. There's aliens ones. There's tons of these subreddits you can find for all kinds of cool, creepy shit.
And go to our site, too. Go to our show that I got Eric as part of our show on Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball.
So you can find that at OchoMan.com on iTunes.
OchoMan.com, yes.
On iTunes, Stitcher, any kind of Google Play. Search for Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball.
You guys like this show. You guys love me and Eric.
I used to be.
And Armand's on there regularly, too, and Nick. So, I mean, if you listen to this show, you'll know everybody that's on the other show.
It's a lot like this show, except without the straight topics.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys go in there with
anything. Today we talked about Conor McGregor. We talked about, what all did we talk about? We talked about a ton of shit today.
Yeah.
Bunch of different shit. Oh, Armand got fucked. Oh, man, you guys want to hear the downfall of Armand? You download the last two episodes of Behind the 8-Ball, boy.
And Tuesday is going to be outstanding.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, don't say anything.
Oh. Yeah.
Because Tuesday, we're
maybe
just
wait
gonna...
till Tuesday and download the next three.
See, fucking Armand was listening.
So I want to remind anybody that the next show we're doing is going to be on the 20th of October. It will be a call-in show.
On a Saturday.
/ voicemail, / email, however you want to get your story to us. We'd love to talk to you live if you want to call in. If you want to just call and leave a voicemail, go to our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com, and leave your voicemail there with your story. Email it to us. We'll read it just like we've done these. And we're going to share listener stories and try to, you know, have conversations about that.
Yeah, and so instead of, like, so this week's the Reddit paranormal stories. Next week it'll be all listener content. So it should be really good next week. And where can they email us if they want to give us a story and they do not want to call? Or
you can email us at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. again, info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. join our Facebook group. Go to facebook.com/surrealtalkgroup. You can get a hold of us there, and we've had a couple people post their stories right in the group. So any way you could think to get a hold of us, we're not hard to find. Twitter, Facebook, get at us.
Yeah, we're all over the place, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
guys.
No problem.
Dude, thanks for having me on. We always love having you on. Thanks to Armand for not showing up today and trying to wreck the Ocho Man show with us.
He'll be back next time. I couldn't do that with him. All right, guys, I got to roll here. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, us too. We're out of here, too. Remember, check yourradio.com, lineupmedia.fm, and we'll catch you guys all next Saturday. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Dan.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not gonna take it anymore!